We have been going through the book of Luke, and as we are in chapter 7 today, we're going into a section which causes two people, representatives, if you will, of two different groups to come together. But they don't clash so much, but they do meet, and in between these two groups is Jesus Christ. So we've, up to this time, we've seen Jesus, he enters the scene. He is proclaimed as the one who's going to be coming to redeem Israel. People understand him to be the Messiah, even though they have their own kind of mindset on what that means, and it isn't accurate, not quite accurate. So Jesus is oftentimes correcting them on what that means. But then as he preaches, there are two different kinds of reactions to his message. The first one, as Jesus goes and he goes out and heals people, and he speaks of forgiveness of sins, and he raises people from the dead and casts out demons and causes eyes to see. Those people embrace him and they love him. There's another reaction, though. And there's this reaction from a group called the Pharisees. I'll explain a little bit more about what they are in just a minute. But this is a group of religious leaders who hold a certain amount of political authority and position in the society. So not only are they teachers of religious teachers, they also have a position of power, if you will, and they're kind of interested in retaining their position, their political power. And so here's a clash of these two that's going to meet in the story that we're going to talk about today. And this is called, in the heading in mind, it says, Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. And I titled the message today, The Forgiveness of God, The Forgiveness of God. As we consider the forgiveness of God, I think back of the things that really hold us back. As we're trying to go forward in the world, maybe we're trying to do a thing at work, and we think of ways that we've failed at work, and so we're hesitant. It causes us not just a caution or a wisdom, but a fear of going forward, because there's a fear of failure. And we're afraid of the things that we've done in the past, and these things are holding us back. And I think of this place where I used to grow up in Manoa Valley. As a little kid, we used to walk down to Manoa Marketplace, past that scary place of the cemetery, where I was convinced that ghosts would come out and I would, you know, see them in the night. But then we walked past this place called Rexall Drugs. You guys remember that place, Rexall Drugs? I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they're bought out by Long's Drugs or, you know, but I haven't. Are they still in the mainland, Rexall? Rexall Drugs? Anyway, we used to go to Rexall Drugs, and that's a place that if I had some money, I would come away with little goodies, like, I don't know, eraser, pencil or something, candy. And if I didn't have money, I would still come away with some goodies, candy or oh, and I still remember it, too. But you know, those things haunt us, don't they? Those things become etched as part of our past. And they continue to kind of weigh on us. They kind of are like little strings that hold us back to our past. And as I'm speaking about the forgiveness of God today, I'm speaking about really two problems. Number one is that you have actually committed a sin, that you have actually done something that's wrong. By the way, sin means to miss the mark. That's all it means. That is, there's a certain moral standard that we haven't lived up to, whether we've lied, cheated, or stolen, or thought bad thoughts, or whatever it is. Those are things a perfect person wouldn't do. But if you did any of those, now you're no longer perfect. Now you've sinned. You've missed the mark. And those things, number one, we have actually done those things. That's the first thing. The second thing is, there is a judgment of guilt upon you. So we have an almighty God who is righteous and holy. And not only did we sin, now we're in fear of this almighty God who is ready, as many people think, to get a hammer and not just hit like a gavel on the pad over there to make a thumping sound. He's ready to hit you on the head with that hammer. And that's how we sometimes feel. When we look back at our lives and we're haunted by the past of our lives and our sins, the words that we've said, the things that we've thought, and now that we understand that God understands our thoughts, oh, we can't even get away with that. And maybe hurtful things we've actually said to people. Maybe we've caused people to stumble. And maybe they've turned away from the gospel or we've destroyed friendships. And we're haunted by the memory of these things. There's one solution to this today that's going to solve both of those problems. And it's called the forgiveness of God. And as we look into this section in Luke chapter 7, if you have your Bible, open that up to Luke chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 36 and go to about verse 40. We're going to go into various different scriptures there. And if you don't have the Bible, I believe some of those might be flashed up on the screen that we're going to be able to read. So as we go forward, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, in this most important message for us, help us to see the conflict that occurs in the world and help us to choose the path of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we have now this, all that we've talked about in the past has now built up to this particular situation that's going on here. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he," Jesus, "went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table." Okay, so let's just end right there real quick. And so when we see a verse like this, we see Jesus is reclining at the table. A word like recline automatically has a particular picture of in our minds, right? We think of a chair, usually, and we're sitting like this, and that's reclining. Maybe a lazy boy. Okay, but that's not reclining. Reclining is on the floor. There's a little pad on the ground. I'm sorry, you're going to not see me. Because this is reclining. If you don't see me, peek over. And if you were to eat, this is how you would eat. Okay? And maybe there's a mat in the middle. Maybe there's a table. You know, we have those low tables, picnic tables. So there is a table in this situation. So there's Jesus reclining at the table. And we find here, first of all, I want to mention that here's a Pharisee. Jesus has gone into these arguments with Pharisees all along. A Pharisee invites Jesus to his house, and Jesus goes. How would we have reacted to that? Some of us might have said, "I'm not going to your house. Man, I say, raise the cross against your house. You know, you're a bad guy." But Jesus goes. Here's what we need to understand, the first thing, is that Jesus will go to whoever invites him. He's had all these arguments with him, with the Pharisees, and yet a Pharisee invites him to his house and he goes. We need to keep that in mind all the time, that Jesus will go to whoever invites him. Now, the self-righteous, on the other hand, avoid contact with sinners. If we look at Luke chapter 7, verse 39, it says, "When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this," he saw, that is, there was a sinful woman who was touching Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. We'll get into that in just a bit. "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, and that is, she is a sinner." She is a sinner. Now, I think everybody kind of knows that we all sin. You lose your temper and you get angry at somebody, you realize you've sinned. Worse yet, you've misjudged the whole situation. And that's like a double sin, right? And you go home and you feel miserable about it. Or you have this person in the town who's the town gossip. And that town gossip spreads all kinds of word and things that may be true, not true. Maybe it's private. True or not, it should be private. But it's not kept private. And this news goes all over the place. That's the town gossip. Or maybe this is a person that's kind of overpowering and doesn't deal fairly in his business. There's those people, but somehow those people are okay in society. But here's a woman who's a sinner. She is not okay. She is worse than all of those people. Whatever it was, we don't know. Some people guess that it might be she was a prostitute. One of those those businesses that everyone frowns upon, and yet there's plenty of business to go around. Funny how that works. But we don't know that, so we really can't make that judgment. But we do know this, that she was a sinner, that she was called. Among other people, she was called a sinner. And the Pharisees are not going to identify with this, these people. They're not going to hang around with these people because the very name, the very words Pharisee comes from the word separate. And it isn't separate yourself from sin so much as it is separate yourself from those people over there. Ooh. Now, Jesus would never object to separating yourself from sin. We all do that. That's what we should do. But the word Pharisee, imagine having a group called separate. And that's who we are. We're the separate. And so instead of separating us from worldly evils and things like that, we separate ourselves from people. And then when we have to engage with them, it's normally in a place of conflict. That's what the Pharisees' name means. And so they tend to separate themselves out. In Jesus, however, God draws near to sinners to save them from their sins. Pharisees avoided sinners in order to save themselves. So Pharisees viewed religion as choosing sides. That's what you had to do. You had to choose sides. The very word Pharisee means choose your side and be separate. So that's the first thing. We find a different kind of response in Jesus toward the people who are sinners. And he tells a story to help these people understand who this woman is. This woman came at his feet weeping, and she wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. She kissed his feet and poured perfume on them, very expensive perfume. And Simon, his name is Simon, the Pharisee, he's thinking, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of person this is and that she's a sinner. She has no business touching a real holy prophet. And so Jesus tells this story, and he says, excuse me, Simon, I want to ask you, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, Simon said. Jesus said, two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. A denarii is about a day's wage. So you can kind of cancel that out, kind of guess how much that is. And the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus said, you have judged correctly. So here's the story. Jesus tells a story saying that there are two people who have debts of this. They borrowed money from somebody, and neither of them can pay them back. One has 50 denarii, the other one has 5. So one has 10 times more than the other, but neither of them can pay them back. Here's the point that I think, now Jesus is going to go on to that and say, this is what this woman is like. She is like the one who has the huge amount of debt, and that's why she loves more. I want to point out something right here. Neither of them could pay the debt back. Whether they owed a lot or whether they owed a little. And this is an important part, because the self-righteous don't think they have debts to pay before God. Or because in their mind their debt is small, they don't need to be forgiven much. So one of the points of this whole passage of Scripture is that it isn't how much you've sinned, but how much you realize you've sinned. It isn't how much you've sinned, but how much you realize you've sinned. Luke 7:47 says about the woman, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Now, so that there's clarity here, make sure that we understand what's going on here. The parable clearly states that the person who loves much loves because they are forgiven much. And what it really means is that they realize they're forgiven much. So when you look at this parable and you kind of step back, and you're looking at these, and one of these characters, the woman, realizes she's a sinner. The other of them doesn't realize they're a sinner. Well, what's the parable saying? Is Simon a sinner? Yes, he is. But he doesn't realize it. And so really this story is for both parties. It isn't how much you've sinned, but how much you realize you've sinned. The difference here is that the Pharisees emphasize avoiding sinners, while Jesus emphasizes forgiving sinners. The Pharisees looked down on sinners. Jesus loved the sinners. This woman understood that if she came to Jesus as a repentant sinner, Jesus would not send her away. Notice how this woman's deep repentance was public. She was not afraid to publicly show Jesus honor and worship. God's ultimate message to this whole interaction is in Luke chapter 7, verses 48 to 50. Luke 7, 48 through 50. Let me read that. Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." I'm sorry. My page keeps flipping. Okay, here we go. 48 again. Jesus said to her, okay, that part's the same. "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Faith leads to salvation and peace. All of the turmoil that we experience because we remember all the ways that we've caused hurt, all the ways that we've disobeyed, the ways we've cheated people, the ways we've lied, all of that is forgiven. Why is this so important? It's important because you cannot go back and undo sin. You cheated on the test. Can you undo it? You cheated on your spouse. Can you undo it? You cheated or stole from your employer. Can you undo that? Amen. I like this crowd over here. They got the right answers. You cheated and took credit for something you didn't do. Can you undo that? No. Can I unsteal from the store I stole from? No. Right. And because, think about this. This is super important. And because you cannot undo your sins, you cannot make everything right. You cannot make everything right. Therefore, forgiveness of sins is the only avenue available to you. Do you see how important forgiveness of sins is? Because you cannot undo it, forgiveness of that sin is the only avenue available. Within a few months or years, Jesus would go to the cross. Months of years of what happened here, Jesus would go to the cross to die for our sins, and it would be nailed there on his body. For those who sinned before the cross, Jesus' payment is a post-paid forgiveness. They've sinned, their sins hung around there, Jesus went to the cross, and finally their sins are forgiven. But their sins are forgiven because of faith. Those who sin after the cross, which is all of us, Jesus' death on the cross is prepaid forgiveness. It's prepaid forgiveness. It's like If somebody gave you a gift card, they paid for that gift card, right? Did they pay for that gift card regardless of whether or not you use it? Regardless of whether or not you use it, it's paid for. It's there just waiting for you to use it. What if you don't use it? Is it any good? No. But Jesus' death is prepaid forgiveness for all of us. This sinful woman believed that if she came to Jesus, Jesus would not send her away. And I'm going to say that if you come to Jesus, Jesus will not send you away. I'm going to ask the band to come forward. And today, I'm going to ask you to respond to Jesus today. You know, there are two kinds of people that are in this group of people here, in this story. There are two kinds of people in this story. The first person says, Lord, is like the woman, sinful woman, says, I know I need forgiveness. It's not even a question. I need forgiveness. And she comes to Jesus unashamed, unafraid. That is what I need. Many of you have come to Jesus that way. You break one. My sins haunt me like a chain around my neck. Because your sins, you know about your sins, they're in your mind. I try to get by, but I don't have peace. This is you. And there's another group of people, however. They're like the Pharisees who say, I'm not that bad. But I'm going to say to you today, you don't need to be terribly bad. All you have to do is miss the mark. Pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie gives this illustration. He says, let's say you and I have this, we go to archery and we have this target over there. And you're a really good archer and you have 10 arrows and you hit bullseye 10 times. You hit the bullseye 9 times and you just miss one time. Have you sinned? Have you missed the mark? Yes. Now I come up. And I take my turn. I have 10 arrows too, and I miss the old target. Have I sinned? Yes. So therefore, it doesn't matter how many times you've sinned. If you've hit the target 9 out of 10 times, you still missed. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm going to invite you. If you have never invited Jesus into your life before, if you've never understood this forgiveness of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Now, I'm going to ask those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ and understand the forgiveness, I'm going to ask you to stand too. Not right now, though. Just in a minute, I'll ask you to do that. But if you have never done that before, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you have never understood or accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, I'm going to just ask you to stand right where you are if you want to do that. Go ahead. Anybody who wants to stand. And we're going to give you a chance to receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ today. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to stand. You want the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Not only do you want the Lord to say your debts are canceled, you want to say, Lord, I want to understand fully that my debts are canceled. You want to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, folks, for standing. I'm going to say a prayer for you right now. And I'd like to lead you to the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes. Let's pray. And all of us, let's agree together. Lord Jesus, pray with me. Those of you who are standing, pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness. I am a sinner. But you offer forgiveness. I receive that forgiveness now. As I receive the person of Jesus Christ, you, Jesus. Now, Lord, as I receive you, I receive the forgiveness of sins. If you've prayed that prayer, if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, Jesus will not turn you away. You ask him to come to you, he'll come to you. Thank you so much for standing. You may take your seats. You may take your seats. If you, for those of you who have prayed that prayer, you can go ahead and sit. If you've prayed that prayer, we have a Bible for you that we'd like to give you, a few handouts on how to really get growing in your walk with God. What we consider how to walk with Christ here, a little diagram, the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. We'd like to give that to you as a gift. And hopefully that will help you to get growing in your walk with Christ. So we'd like to give these things to you. And we'll have a number of counselors who will help you and will get you going on that. So please look out for them. We have those on the back table there too. Now for many of you, obviously you've accepted the forgiveness of Christ. But you're not only forgiven once, are you? You've gone through things and now you need the forgiveness of Christ. You've thought thoughts and you want the forgiveness of Christ afresh, all new again. Doesn't matter whether or not you said, Lord, I've repented before. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. Go ahead and stand. Just stand up right where you are. And if you stood up before, you can stand up again. Just go ahead and stand up. As an expression of your statement before the Lord, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Whether I'm a Pharisee or that sinful woman, I know I need your forgiveness. That's the statement you're making before the Lord today. And I'll pray a blessing upon you. Let's receive the Lord's blessing. Lord, we need your forgiveness. Let's say it with me. We need your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiveness in Jesus. Father, wipe the slate clean. And let me go in freshness of a forgiven life. If you said that prayer, receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I declare to you today, on the authority of the Word of God, that your sins are forgiven. And from here, go in peace from this place. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this time we got to examine the words of Jesus. It's an interaction between the Pharisee and the sinful woman to help us see that we're all in the same place. Now, Father, we come before you. We want to return our heart of gratitude to you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.